Learn Reb Pinkus's Torah on Purim. Somebody took the Purim volume out of the Beis Medrash from Reb Pinkus's Yom Tov Svarim. So the only shtickle Torah that I found in the whole Tiferes Shimshon on Chumash was this one piece about the Megillah. And so we're going to discuss it. It's actually very interesting. It's not exactly Purimdic as I would have wanted it to be, but it's a very, very big yisai that he's telling us about the Megillah. But before he gets there, he discusses the concept of a sefer. There's a famous chazal. And the Chazal says that in Dvarim Rabbah, this is not, you don't have this on your handout, but in Dvarim Rabbah it says, Amar Belazar, Hasayif v'hasefer yardu kruchim en hashamayim. The sayif is a sword, and a sefer is a book, came down together, like bound together from heaven. Amar Lahen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Im tase mashakasa b'sefer hazeh, if you do what's said in this sefer, in the Torah, atam nitzelem min hasayif hazeh, then you will be saved from this sword. V'im loy sasu, atam ne'rogim b'sayif hazeh, if you don't keep what's in the book, you're going to get killed with a sayif. So the sayif and the sefer give us those two choices in life. It's either the book or the sword. You can't have one without the other. Or you can't have, if you have the sword, then you're not gonna, that means you didn't do the book. If you have the book, then you won't have to have the sword. And Reb Pinkus goes on to explain what a sefer is. Let's see what he says. He says on the second paragraph on page Reish Dalet, Zeu sha'amru chazal ha'sayif ha'sayif yardu kruchim zebazet. What does that mean? Shekein sefer hu em sa'i lahasik kol davar taiv sheba aylam. A sefer is a way, if you ever stop and think about what a sefer is, what is a sefer? A sefer is a book. But what does that mean? The maila of a sefer is, it's the medium through which you can get everything good in the world. Darka yachal adam lachnis l'seich besai, l'teich meichai, l'teich mitziusai, tevarim shem rechaikim imenu merchak rav, ad kidei kach shiachal l'afil l'kray ha-sifrei shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yoz ha-sefer mechaber ha-isai im ha-shamayim. Think about what a book is. A book, not just talking about Torah. I mean, obviously that's where we're going with this, but think about the maila of a book. This is obviously before there was anything called the internet, before there was television, before there was radio, before there was any other medium that's able to send information from one place to another. The sefer was that. That's really what a book is. I could write a book. Today I'm able to, from my office, from my smartphone, I'm able to write something and somebody in China can read what I write. I send an email and in 0.3 seconds it's in China. It's a crazy thing. I mean, we're used to it. You grew up with it, so maybe it's not so crazy for you, but it's really a crazy. In the olden days when I was growing up, in order to get something from one place, it was before the fax machine even, if you know what that is, and my father had a telex machine in his house, which was like a big thing. He had a business that he was doing import-export, dealing a lot with China and the Far East. And it was sort of like a typewriter, but it stood up, and it was like a freestanding machine, and you basically type, and then there was like a tape that had like little dots on it, like almost like a, it's hard to describe, but it was like little punched out dots based on what you were typing, and then you spool that tape back into the machine and it would type it out very fast, and that would somehow get wired through phone wires, I think, to China, and they would get a telex on the other end of the sea. That was cutting edge technology back then. My father was like one of the few people in the whole area that had one, so a lot of people would come to the house, other businessmen would come and use his machine. But that was modern technology already. But before that, the only way for me to be able to share information with somebody else, go back 100 years, 200 years, 1,000 years, 5,000 years, how do you convey information to somebody else, whether it's somebody next door, down the block, next country, the other side of the world? The book was the only thing that did that, if you think about it. I'm able to publish a book here or write a book, manuscript, whatever it may be, and then I send it anywhere I want, and now you have the information that I put in the book. You're able to download it, as it were, before there was a concept of downloading. You're able to download it into your brain, and so I can affect people all over the world through a book. That's what a book is, right? A book is something that's able to communicate information. I could get my knowledge, my intellect, my opinion into your house, into your brain, into your mind, into your family's mind. I could have everybody in your family read it. That was before any other mediums of communication was available. That was what the Sefer. The Sefer was really the cutting edge of communicating ideas and thoughts and opinions. Im Adam Loikares B'Sefer, and of course, let's bring it home. Right now, until now, I could have been talking about Moby Dick and Shakespeare and anything.
Worse, right?
But obviously, what we're getting at here is Torah. Torah is the way that the Sefer is the way that Torah was spread throughout the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah, and a Chumash, a scroll, Tanakh, and then eventually Torah Shebaal Peh when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, he started allowing us to write down Torah Shebaal Peh. These were the ways that we were able to get Torah from heaven to earth was through a Sefer. So, Adam Loikare B'Sefer, if a person, this is how he understands the Medrash, if a person doesn't read a Sefer, who be'etzem nichras me'ashamayim, that sayif, that sword that awaits a person that doesn't learn through a Sefer, is quite literal, because if you don't open up a book, you're be'etzem cut off, you're severed from heaven, because the communication between heaven and earth is bridged through a Sefer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us his Chachma through Svarim, through a Sefer Torah, through Tanakh, and through Torah Shebaal Peh, and through anything that we write down, we send that's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so when a person decides to cut himself off by saying, I don't want any Svarim, Zehu hasayif shekeres hachiv bein ele bein bayre. This is the sword that disconnects him. That, I remember there was once a Yid who lived in Long Beach, and one day the yeshiva in Long Beach, the Masifta, got a whole library of books. And it's very strange. This wasn't like an old guy that died. A lot of times you get a library if somebody dies and, you know, the kids don't want the sarim, so they you know, this guy was a young guy. I knew him. Maybe he's in his 30s. And I said, what happened to this guy? Why is he giving yeshiva like all these books, all these sfarim? So it turns out, if I remember correctly, that he sort of just, he was like a kid at risk before kids at risk were cool. Like it was, he was going off the derech. He had no more use for his sfarim. As soon as a person doesn't have use for his sfarim, as soon as a person looks at all his sfarim of his bar mitzvah and his collection and whatever and says, you know what? I'm not using these. I'm not interested in them. That's basically cutting himself off. The sayif and the sefer are always the two choices that a person makes. If you're involved in svarim, if you're learning, if you're reading, if you're sharing information, Torah, knowledge with other people and with yourself, then you have a connection with the Rabbi Yisrael. The sefer connects heaven and earth. But if you decide not to, if I say it, I don't want to learn, so I'm not into it. I'm burned out. I don't want to read. I can't. Doesn't do it for me. Whatever terminology you want to use, the sayif comes in and representing the fact that you basically severed yourself from heaven. The connection between heaven and earth is a sefer, and the severance between heaven and earth is the sayif, and that comes by rejecting svarim. Yes, it's true. The sayif is what destroys, but you really destroyed yourself. You cut yourself off from heaven. That's basically what a sefer is. A book is the shedra, it's the vertebrae, it's the spine that connects heaven and earth. And if you don't learn svarim, you don't buy svarim, you don't read svarim, you're not interested in svarim, you're basically severing yourself, you're cutting yourself off. It's karis. You're cutting yourself off from heaven. Okay, so now that we've established, I think that maybe what I said seems simple to you, but it wasn't simple to me. You just take svarim for granted. You don't look at a sefer as being, but svarim was the only method of communication that existed from the beginning of time. So even Admar Rishon wrote svarim. Avraham Avinu wrote svarim. We have some of the svarim. Sefer Yetzira was a sefer that was written, traditionally understood to have been written by Avraham Avinu. Sefer Yetzira, we still have that sefer. Avraham Avinu wrote svarim. This was the way of spreading knowledge. The way of spreading knowledge, Chumash, but even your own Chidushim was always through a sefer. And that's the brilliance of Sefer. That's why when the Gutenberg press came out, so basically that was a game changer, because until the printing press was invented, every Sefer that existed in the world was handwritten. It had to be manuscript. You could still see the pre-printing press books was. If you go to any really, really chashuva library and they take out for you svarim before svarim were able to be printed, it was all written out by hand. It's very expensive to buy a book. Because, imagine if I wanted to buy a Rashba. How do I get a Rashba? There's no printing presses that prints that Rashba. I have to hire a cipher, or I have to buy it from somebody who hired a cipher to write word for word a Rashba on Maseches Kedushin, whatever it is. That's a very big undertaking. There weren't too many Rashbas like that in the world. All of a sudden, the Gutenberg press comes along, and now you can actually mass produce svarim. And the first people that really took advantage of this was the Jews, because even though the Gutenberg Bible was the first book printed by this printing press, but really Goyim were slower to realize the power of this printing press, because in general they weren't as big readers as Jews. Jews were always the people of the book. And so there were Goyim that read, and it was a very big boon for Goyim. But if you read the history, the first people that really chapped this technology and used it was Yidden. Like Sansino was one of the first, an Italian printing house. They used this, and they printed beautiful Svarim, Gemaras, and Mishnayos, and then a whole cluster of cities in Italy and in Spain and Barcelona and Venice. There were like famous printing press cities that it wasn't so easy to buy a printing press either, but there were printing houses that invested in it, and they started publishing beautiful early svarim. The first svarim that were printed, anyone know what they were called? There's a name given for that. It was like, I think, the first maybe 100 years or 50 to 100 years of the print, right after the printing press. It's very, very sought after by investors, by collectors. It's called Incunabla, I think it's called. It might be different ways of saying that, but it basically means, I think it means in the cradle of the printing press, basically. In the cradle. It was like the first period right after the printing press was invented, And those were very, very special svarim. And then eventually it became much more mass-produced, and that's why we have svarim. But Yidden took advantage, because this was like amazing. Now I don't have to hire a cipher to write a whole Rashba. Now I could print 1,000 Rashbas and deliver it all over the world. And there was a very big demand for this, not just Rashbas, but Gemaras, the Bamberg Shas, the famous Bamberg Shas. That's, you know, all these svarim, if you can get a copy of them, you're a very wealthy man. But that's what a sefer was. A sefer was the ability to spread knowledge. And that's a sefer in general. That's a sefer of Torah. And now we're going to bring it home a little bit to Megillas Esther. Well, Megillas Esther yesh din sefer. Davar zeh she sefer nikra midas hayisayid huva b'shar kavanas la'arizal. The Arizal already speaks about this, about how a sefer is called midas hayisayid because it's the foundation of all of our knowledge and the way that Torah is spread. So, chazal aymrim shal asid lavay kol asfar mispat luchutz miglas Esther. In the future, there's a chazal that says that all Sfarim will be batal, except for Megillas Esther. Exactly what that means, I don't know, but I don't know which Sfarim it's referring to. I don't think it means a Chumash. It probably maybe means the other Sfarim of Ksuvim, maybe, or of Ksuvim, or Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So all the Sfarim of Nevi'im and Ksuvim are going to be batal, save one, and that's Megillas Esther. Hisyachta Megillas Esther bekach. Why is Megillas Esther special? Because it has a din of a Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah, Sefer Behei Yidia, the book. The book is the Bible, is the Torah. V'gam Megillas Esther nikra Sefer, v'nichta b'Sefer. In Megillas Esther, it calls itself a Sefer. Because there's a commonality between a Sefer Torah, the Sefer, and Megillas Esther, which is called the Sefer. The Amnam. Yeshnam Eid Svarim Nevi'im Ksuvim Ol Megill Nikra Sefer. It seems that the only Sefer other than Chumash that's called a Sefer is the Megillah. Ad Kedei Gach Shamru Chazal Sheyesh La Din Shal Sefer Torah Ketayra Atzma Kamita Shal Torah. There are certain, the Gemara says that I think a Megillah needs Sirtut, right? Kamita Shal Torah has to be, it's like the Emes of Torah. The Megillah's Esther has a din of a Sefer Torah. Just like Megillah, a Sefer Torah has a din of Sirtut, they have to scratch those straight lines into the Sefer Torah that you could write nice and neat on. That's how Megillah's Esther also, because it has a din of a Sefer Torah. Now, what's the depth to that? When you see a Chazal like that, you have to understand what it means. So Pinchas says, Be'etzem zehaya ikar hanes b'purim. The main miracle of Purim was Kiyuma Shala Ailam Humikaya Chatera Kadesha. Why is the world existent? The world exists because of the Torah. Bimei Achashver Sheshtachva Am Yisrael Letzalem. We bow down to an idol during the time of Achashver Sheketaitzam Mikach Nigzar Vahashmin Lar Galabit Es Kol Yehudim. As a result of that, it was commanded that we, it was ordered, decreed that we should be terminated from this world. Why did the Jews, why were they mechuy of Kalya? Why were we supposed to be destroyed? What did we do so bad? So we mishtach v'letzelem, we got hanah from the Suda of Achashverosh. But the real crux of it, the real depth of what we did wrong, is we severed ourselves from the Torah. We bowed down to the Tzelem. We weren't into Torah so much. Anyone have a proof to that from a Gemara and Megillah? That we weren't, that we sort of were cut off from the Torah? What does it say at the end of the Megillah? At the end, in the aftermath of Megillah, we had Aira, we had Simcha, we had Sasan Yikar. So the Gemara says, Aira Zu Taira. Aira Zu Taira. That means that for a while we didn't have Taira. We were cut off from the Taira. It could mean simply that Haman decreed against us, we weren't allowed to learn Taira. But the deeper pshat is that we were not interested in learning Taira. We didn't see the Aira in Taira. But after the nace happened, we were able to once again fully appreciate the Torah, but we needed a new Torah, just to borrow that phrase, which is what our Pinchas uses. The Torah, the old Torah, we sort of severed ourselves off from. We pulled out the Sayef and we cut ourselves off from the old Torah. So in effect, what we needed to do was be makabel on ourselves a brand new Torah. This doesn't mean a new Torah in the way that it could be misunderstood to mean. I mean, it's the same Torah, but there has to be a fresh, new
contract
with the Torah. Exactly. Thank you. So, and the Gemara in Shabbos says, in Peches Amud Aleph, that we re-accepted the Torah during the time of Achashverosh. Dechsev, as the Pasuk says, Kimu v'kibla Yehudim, we got up and we accepted it. And the Gemara Darshan's Kimu Masha Kiblu Kvar. We were Mekayim, what we had already received in Har Sinai, we re-accepted it again. Because we cut off ourselves from the old, from the Torah, we had to renew that bond with the Torah, that contract with the Torah. So, l'megillas Esther yesh es hagavon shel sefer Torah. So, therefore, the Megillas Esther is that renewed contract, in a sense. It's a, it has a certain, the hue of a sefer Torah, the color of a sefer Torah. Kishem she sefer Torah hu chibur, it attaches, like we said before, it's a connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Kach gam Megillas Esther hevia lanu chayim chadashim. Megillas Esther, which represents that Tkufa and Klal Yisrael, that period that we re-accepted the Torah, it itself represents a new life. Mekar chadosh al chayim kaviyachim mekar makairis. It was a new lease on life. It was a new bridge that was built between Knesset Yisrael and the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's what the Megillah is. That's why Megillah is, it's not coincidental that it's called a Sefer, like a Sefer Torah, because it represents the new Sefer Torah, represents the renewed approach to Torah, the renewed excitement to learn Torah, the enthusiasm that we had during the time of Achashverosh, Me'avas HaNes, as Rashi says. We had such love, appreciation for that miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought to us, that we re-accepted the Torah, and that's embodied in the Megillah. Deveikos l'makar achayim, museges rak al-yedei sefer. This connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only really understood through a sefer. Ve'yais ve'sefer ha-Torah ha-risha nefsida ha-yedei shenenu misidasa shalais ha-rasha. And since the sefer Torah, the first sefer Torah, was lost by us having hana from the Suda of Achashverosh, which is Megillas Esther, and ha'ofen li'dabek b'makar chayim u'rak ha'yedei sefer. The way to connect is only through a sefer with Hashem. That's the wires that connects Klal Yisrael and Hashem. Madua ki elikim hashamayim yatal haaretz. Hashem is very far away. Hashem is in the heavens. We're on the earth. How do we establish a connection? What's our phone that we're able to pick up and communicate directly with the Rabbeinu Shalom? Eichem kein nitin l'kabel kesher imay ha'yedei sefer shu b'v'chinas midas ha'yisayid ha'davar shebekoichei l'chaber bein shnei devar m'chaikim. The one thing that's able to communicate between two far distances is a sefer. And so the Sefer Torah represents the connection between the Rabbeinu Shalom and us, and the Megillah does the same thing, but in a different way. When we see a Megillah basically shows us that we have a new connection with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Everything seemed lost. There was a Sayef that severed that connection. The Megillah says, no, we got it back. And that connection is stronger than ever in a certain way. You know, the Megillah is called a Sefer, but it's also called what?
Megillah.
What else is it called?
Igeres.
The Gemara says that it's called a Sefer and it's called an Igeres. And there's dinim for both. Like, what's one example, what's one din that we learn from the fact that it's called an Igeres? The way that you open it up, right? When you have, when you're in Balkari, if you look on Purim, when the Balkari lays the Megillah, he doesn't lay it like a Sefer Torah. The whole thing is opened up and gone open like this because it's called an Igeres. An Igeres is not a scroll. An Igeres is a letter. A letter is, it's open. It's more, it's folded. It has more expansiveness to it. But a letter, if it's called a letter, it's also, I think the Yisrael there, Pinkus is saying, it's a sefer. Sefer is a way of communicating, but a letter is also a way of communicating. When you get a letter in the mail, and I know that it's very rare to get a letter in the mail these days. The only letters I get in the mail are bills. But when I was a little kid, letters were very...
Invitations sometimes.
What?
Sometimes invitations.
Invitations, right. But, you know, a letter used to be a very, very normal thing to do. In camp, you'd send letters. I mean, today, it's a shtick. If the kid, you know, you get them stationary, they send a letter once a month because they want, you know, you to send them back some money or something. But it's not a real thing. In the olden days, like, if we wouldn't have letters, we wouldn't have any tshuvas. All the tshuvas for him were letters that were corresponded back and forth. Imagine if there wasn't letters. Letters communicated amongst Yidden from across the world. We have tshuvas, so let's say the Chasam Sefer, from all across the world. From America, from Europe, from Eastern Europe, Western Europe, Hungary, Russia. Everybody communicated. Rav Chaim Eiser got letters. There are sarim that are written by Rav Chaim Eiser. We have, besides for the Achiezer, but all of the, they're putting out a lot of sarim of, he wrote thousands of letters. And you know, Rav Chaim Eiser was famous for being possibly the most brilliant man of his time. I mean, he lived in the time of the Rugachevers, so it's hard to compare these two giants, but he was so brilliant, and I don't know if this is true or it's apocryphal, but they don't say it about you and me. I don't think, definitely not about me, maybe about you. But he was able to write two tshuvas simultaneously and answer verbally a third person that was standing in front of him asking Mishaila. Can you imagine how a brain that you have to do that? Imagine just writing your name with your left and right hand at the same time. It's impossible. Now imagine writing your name with your left and right hand while somebody asks you your name at the same time. You can't. He was able to answer a complex halachic shayla orally and be writing simultaneously two complex halachic shaylas all at the same time. I don't know if it's true. It sounds like impossible, right? It's one of these two, but you'll see it if you... It's quoted very often. It's a famous thing. I didn't make it up. And again, is it 100? I don't know if it's accurate or not, but that's what they say about Rav Chaim Eiser. And it's interesting. He got so many tshuvas from around, so many shaylas sent to him from around the world that he was the chief rabbi of Vilna. Vilna is not a small city. Vilna is a huge, it was like the capital of Lithuania. It was a very big city. And it was known that all you have to do when you're writing a letter to Rav Chaim Eiser is write Rabbi Chaim Eiser at Grudzinski, Vilna, and you put a stamp on it, it gets to him. That's crazy. That's like saying, you know, Rabbi Moshe Bamberger, New York City. Which post office person is supposed to know who am I, which part of New York City, what's the zip code, where, you know, if it would say the zip code, they wouldn't know how to get it to me. Reb Chaim Eiser was such a famous gadol, and he got so much mail that you just have to write Vilna, and it got. And I found recently, I saw, and I found online somewhere, that I saw an actual, you know, a lot of these stories, you never know if it's true or not. I found an actual picture of a letter that Taka, the telegram, was just addressed to Chaim Eiser Vilna. Never thought I'd ever see that in my life, but I saw it with my own eyes. So the same way that that's true, it's probably true also that he wrote with two hands and answered a third person. A letter is something that's very, very important to send across long distances to get information, just like a sefer. A sefer is more of a formal thing to get long distance, like a book. But a letter is a very personal way of getting things long distance. It might be a letter to show, you know, to wish somebody mazel tov. It might be a letter thanking somebody for a donation to the yeshiva, which is a lot of the letters that we have from Gedolim. It might be a letter about a personal emergency or a Klal Yisrael emergency. But it's a very personal thing. When you have a letter that's addressed to you, you open it up and it's something that's personal. It's something, somebody wrote a letter to me. So a sefer is something that's more, it's more of a Klal type of message. So it's a general informational message, but a letter is something very personal. And a Megillah, I think, is both. A Megillah has a din of a sefer, and it also has a din of a letter. It's a sefer in that it's like a sefer Torah. Like we said, it has the ability to send, to communicate the new Torah. I hate using that lashon because it sounds like a different religion, but you have to understand what I mean. It doesn't mean a new Torah. It means a revitalized Torah, a re-energized Torah, which is what happened during the time of Purim. But it's also, that seems like a cold thing. It's a Torah, a sefer Torah, like it's not, it's Klal Yisrael's. But it's also an igaris. It's a personal letter the Megillah is to each and every one of us. When we open the Megillah on Purim, and we hear the Baal Kirei laning the Megillah, it's a tzibur dika thing, but it's also very personal. Because the Megillah is a personal message to you and to you and to you and to you and to me. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu always is with us. He's always with us. And even when it seems that he's not around, and he's behester upon him, you don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, benigla, but it doesn't matter because he's always here. He's right here with us. And just like in the times of Purim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face was totally hidden, wasn't clear where he was. Everything seemed very tevadik, it seemed very political. Didn't seem like there was a Yad Hashem necessarily in anything, but now looking back on it, we see all of the how every single step of the way really fit perfectly because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a master plan. That's the way our personal life is also. Our life is the same way. A lot of times we have no idea what's going on in our life. We see just nothing but utter confusion, and sometimes things are very hard for us and we don't understand that. And we have difficulties in a lot of different areas of our life. Whatever it may be, everyone has their own unique, and we don't see where's the Yad Hashem, what's going on here. But the Megillah is a letter that's sent to every Yid to remind them that, don't worry, I have it under control. The Rabbanu Shalom, I have your back, I have your front, I have your side, I have everything. Everything is fine. Don't panic. Sometimes people get carried away and they right away, you know, whether it's the coronavirus, whether it's the stock market crashing, whether it's shidduchim that aren't going well, whether it's, you know, family crisis, social crisis, medical crisis. Imaginary crisis. So we have all these different types of crises in our lives and you know, we don't know what to do. And then we get panicked. We start freaking out about it. And that's human. That's not an abnormal reaction. That's what human beings are. We get scared. But the Megillah whispers in our ear a very personal message that I understand that you're scared, but I'm here with you. It's not random. There's nothing by chance. If this happened or this didn't happen, there's a reason for that. And sometimes we get to see the reason very quickly. Sometimes it takes months, years, sometimes we never get to see the reason. But suffice it to say that from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vantage point, there is a reason. As much as we think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is benister, and there's hester upon him, it's really not. He's very much benigla, just we don't maybe have the glasses to see him, or we're so busy with ourselves we don't look for him enough. But a Megillah is both a sefer and it's an igaris, as du dinim, as a din of a sefer Torah for Klal Yisrael to gain from. It's one of the Kisvei HaKadosh that will never be batal. It's going to be here forever. That's on a national level, but on a private level, it's a letter that's sent to us and addressed to us and sealed with a kiss and telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us and he cares for us and that everything is going to be just fine.